It's Food Friday. Dill, chives, and other fresh herbs are starting to pop up in gardens around the state, and it's almost warm enough to plant a whole bunch of great flavors.
Our guest has advice on how to use those herbs in entrees, desserts, and beverages, and even in crafts and beauty products.
Jim Rood and Jenna Carlin are with us now. They're based in Wisconsin, and they blog at Little Rusted Ladle. Their new cookbook is called Herbs for Flavor, Health, and Natural Beauty. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Jenna, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi.
So, Jim, I get the impression looking at this book that you really, really like herbs. Why did you tackle them in your new book?
Well, what's not to love about herbs? I mean, they're loaded with flavor and healthy benefits, and they're beautiful. And my mom had instilled the bug in me when I was little. So,
and
why
Jenna.
Not, right?
Jenna, you use herbs for more than just food. What kinds of other stuff do you like to do with herbs?
I like to use them in home decor projects and also home beauty projects, like lip gloss and soaps, wreaths, and potpourri, that sort of thing.
And so if you've got a wreath made out of herbs, Jenna, it's what? I guess you're smelling that for a long time then.
Oh, yeah. They're great fresh, and then even when they dry, you can still hang them up and throw a little essential oils on them, keep them smelling great all year round.
And you talk about, Jim, how the thing that's lovely about herbs is that you don't just, you know, it's not like plucking a lemon, you eat it, you're done. With herbs, you pluck some more grows. They just keep giving to you all season long.
Correct. I think the misconception about sometimes with herbs is you treat them like fruits or vegetables, and sometimes people are afraid to pick them as if they're going to damage the plant. But in actuality, the herbs love to be cut and cut often. It encourages their growth, and they continue to provide well, you know, every time you cut them. And whereas vegetables and fruits, you know, you kind of wait for weeks or months for them to grow, and then you pick them, and then they're done. So herbs are extremely giving, and people just need to understand how versatile and wonderful they are to keep picking them.
And Jenna, you're a photographer, and you have some great pictures of these recipes. We've got a few, by the way, on the Central Time Facebook page. Do herbs add a lot to the visual appeal of the dishes we're making?
Yes, of course. They add lots of texture, and they photograph beautifully because they're so thin that light can kind of, you can kind of see through them, like kind of, they really pop on an image.
And let's talk a little bit about the book. Now, Jim, you highlight, I think it's 13 different herbs in the book, and for most of them, there is an appetizer, a soup, a salad, a side, and a main dish. Some of them even have a dessert or something to drink. How did that come together, pulling, you know, from the beginning of the meal to the very end using herbs? Was that a stretch, or was it pretty easy to do?
Well, for some herbs, it was very easy, and something that I've been using herbs for, you know, in beverages and desserts before. Others, maybe not as easy. It's kind of hard to put chives into a beverage that, unless it's maybe a Bloody Mary. But, you know, that kind of came about just because I wanted the cooking element of the book to be, to show the versatility of herbs and not just in standard recipes, but kind of push the envelope a little bit and let people see that, wow, you know, I can throw these in an appetizer or a salad, and instead of using, you know, just lettuce, I can throw lemon balm or basil into my salad, and it adds a completely different layer of flavors.
We're talking to Jim Rood and Jenna Carlin. Their new cookbook is Herbs for Flavor, Health, and Natural Beauty. They're both based in Wisconsin, by the way. Well, you mentioned those chives, Jim, and I wanted to get in one of the recipes we have on the Central Time Facebook page. You sent us mini chive blossom cheese balls with chive picks. Talk us through that recipe.
Well, of course, being from Wisconsin, everybody's familiar with the cheese ball. I mean, what's not to love about Wisconsin cheese? You know, the various things that go with that. But you're often using normal toothpicks or you know, you're spooning it off of a big ball. And what's great about the chive, the cheese balls, is that chives, when they produce flowers, they produce a long, kind of stiff stem. That the stem isn't that great eating because it's pretty hard and a little bit kind of woody, or not woody, but, you know, harder than the regular chives. So as a great use for those, if you cut those into small sticks, then you use those as your picks, infusing the center of the cheese ball with more chive flavor and having a more beautiful presentation. Throw it on a slice of apple, and you've got a great little appetizer that's beautiful and showcases the flowers and the blossoms of the chive, which are available either in the spring or in the fall.
Do these come together pretty easily?
The chive blossom mm-hmm. cheese balls? Yeah. Oh, sure. You know, you basically do the same as you would a regular cheese ball. You mix it in the ingredients in a bowl, form them instead of into one large ball, you'd form them into individual small balls, either using a little scoop or just with your hands, and then just roll them in the chive blossoms and put the pick in it, put it on the slice of apple, and you're good to go.
That's good use of chives. I've got a lot coming up in the yard, so I may give that a try. Jenna, before we move on from the chives, I can't imagine that maybe in a skincare product. I don't know if I want the smell with me that intimately, but do you have crafts you do with chives?
With chives, I didn't do any of those yet. That would be quite a challenge.
Yeah, chive soap. I don't think I want to go there.
Yeah,
I think it could be okay.
Yeah, we haven't done that one yet.
All right, there's a challenge. The gauntlet has been thrown down with chives. Well, an herb that I think that's maybe it's more versatile. I'm going to say basil. I love basil in almost everything. Can't think of anything that I don't like basil in. And that's what's not quite in season yet here in Wisconsin. But tell us about some of the different ways that you use basil.
Well, basil is a fabulous herb. As you know, it's kind of considered the mother of herbs. But because it's kind of a relative of the mint family. So it has that kind of sweet, kind of anise-like flavor. And it's used in so many different kind of cultures, whether it's Italian or Thai or just good old-fashioned American, that it blends itself well in both savory and sweet combinations. So can you imagine pesto without basil, or pizza, or the regulars are great, but when you toss those nice fresh delicate basil leaves with salads, rice. You know, we've got a roasted cauliflower rice with basil that's just really fresh, really healthy, great for you. And even a fettuccine with the jalapeno pesto, just really showcases the basil really nicely. And don't be afraid to throw it in your desserts. You know, take a standard brownie mix, box of brownie mix, make brownies, and infuse your, your eggs or your milk, your whipped cream with the scent and the flavor of basil, and it takes the dessert to a whole new level.
That would be a surprise to me. And the recipe we've got up on basil on the Central Time Facebook page, berry basil floats. Jenna, what describe the taste of that, because this sounds pretty good on a warm day in Wisconsin.
It is extraordinary. It's one of my favorite recipes in the book. It's got a sherbet flavor too with the basil, the vodka we infused with berries and basil as well, and it's so flavorful. And I suggest you all to do it. It's great.
Well, we're talking.
I'm sorry.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Say that the cookbook actually we had to take all the alcohol out of the book, so we don't be afraid to throw it back in with any of the recipes if you see where it might fit.
I see the invite there.
We are from Wisconsin.
Well, we're talking about cooking with fresh herbs on Food Friday right now. And Jenna Carlin and Jim Root are with us. They're based here in Wisconsin. And their new cookbook is called Herbs for Flavor, Health, and Natural Beauty.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite herb for cooking? Do you grow herbs in your garden or your window box? And do you have questions about how to make the most of your basil, chives, rosemary, tarragon, you name it? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post and find some great recipes on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. It's Food Friday, and right now we're cooking with herbs. Jenna Carlin and Jim Root are with us, and their new cookbook is called Herbs for Flavor, Health, and Natural Beauty.
You can join us at 800-642-1234. Do you like to cook with fresh herbs? Do you grow basil, chives? Do you have an herb garden at home? What is your favorite one to cook with? Do you have some recipes to suggest? And do you have questions about how to use them? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post and find some recipes on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Jenna, is there a particular herb in the book that you were inspired to work with on the non-food side?
I found mint to be really exciting to work with just because there's so many varieties of mint. And I used a few of them in the book. But one example is that we use a chocolate mint in the Energizing Mint and Mocha Loofah Soap.
That sounds pretty
so
great.
That turned out really nice. Just gives a really uplifting scent, especially for in the shower in the morning. They've been great.
Now, I have experience with mint, but not so much with chocolate mint. Does it actually smell, have a fragrance of chocolate?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. It's extremely intense. If you rub the leaves, you'd swear it was bathed in chocolate before while it was coming up.
That can't be bad.
No. Chocolate and mint? Come on.
Now, I hear tell from a well-placed source that dill is starting to come up, right? Michelle Good at the board there. She's got dill coming up at home. Jim, what are some of your favorite things to do with dill?
I'll tell you, when we started doing the book, the standards, it's great with a seafood salad or with any kind of fish. Fabulous in dips, of course. You can't go to a grocery store without seeing dill and, on potato chips and everything else. But the one that I think really surprised me was just the simplicity of dill with pasta and treating it like a carbonara with the cream and of course, you can't go wrong with cream and pasta and butter and dill, but then kind of bringing into that egg with just a soft cooked or a fried egg over the top of it was just, it's wonderful. But just dill in pasta is just amazing. You could just eat buttered noodles and dill, it would be fabulous.
That sounds yummy. Well, let's get a caller in on this. We've got Leon joining us in Watertown. Hi, Leon.
Hi, Leon. How's it?
What do you want to share with us?
Yeah, so I recently read in a booklet about called Speakeasy Grilled Cheese Sandwich. It embraces a combination of basil and rosemary leaves. And my favorite part of it is you can actually mince your favorite, locally grown fresh herbs, top it up nicely, and you'd also get to caramelize some apricots to create a nice, really, really nice sugar to give you that full flavor, rich flavor, and then you add some maple syrup and also just a tad bit of bourbon glaze. And,
wow.
Oh, it's delicious. It's delicious.
You kept adding
grilled
ingredients,
cheese, Leon?
Yeah.
What, you should add, that was a grilled cheese, right?
Absolutely. I looked it up, and unfortunately I don't have the recipe on me. It was in a book, I believe from Madison. It's called The Speakeasy, and I'm sure you can look it up online. Hmm. Oh, delicious recipe.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
That's a lot going on in a grilled cheese.
That's a lot. Yeah, but I bet that basil really makes the apricots sing. We've got an apricot and basil tart in our cookbook, so that's wonderful.
Leon, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go next to Tim on the line in Eau Claire. Tim, hi.
Hi, suggestion for basil. I do a wilted basil leaf over like a pan-fried chicken breast. Absolutely delicious. Pan-fried up with some olive oil, a little bit of garlic. And then a suggestion for what to do with dill. Throw it right in the garbage.
No, that's wrong.
Oh, no.
I love dill.
Dill hater. We've got a dill hater.
yeah, it's one of my favorite herbs. Right, it's right up there with basil for me. Basil and dill. Yeah. Is dill a controversial herb?
I don't think so at all. It's not as controversial as cilantro. Cilantro, you either hate it or you love it. But I guess some people don't like dill, but yeah. I don't know.
Well, on the friendlier side, he was all for basil and just use something as simple as, I mean, he said chicken. You can do this with a lot of dishes. Take that one basil leaf, or depending on how big the thing is, a couple basil leaves and just put it on top, and it looks great and adds a lot of flavor. It's a really simple way to use it, isn't it, Jenna?
Yeah. Yeah, sounds great.
So one herb that I've discovered recently is tarragon, which I think I've gone most of my adult life not quite knowing what it was and not quite knowing if I liked it. And I discovered recently that I love tarragon. Can you tell us a little bit about how to use it, get the most out of it?
Well, tarragon, it has similar flavor tendencies a little bit to basil, although it's got a little bit more of a kind of a grassy anise flavor, like licorice, basically. So it goes fabulous with seafood. One of the easiest recipes in the book is the grilled lobster tails with tarragon chive butter. Mm. And you just make a compound butter with tarragon. And we have a chive blossom butter in the book that's outstanding. And you just combine the two of those and put it over shrimp or lobster, put it right on the grill, and it just adds an incredible depth of flavor and a little bit of that licorice flavor that just goes great with seafood. But it's great with chicken and a number of pasta dishes. It's a great herb.
We're talking to Jim Rood and Jenna Carlin. Their new cookbook is Herbs for Flavor, Health, and Natural Beauty. We'll go back to our callers now. We've got Doug on the line in Stevens Point. Doug, hi.
Hi. I wanted to call and say that I can't remember the exact restaurant. There was a restaurant in the Dells that had coleslaw with dill in it, and it was awesome. But I love dill. I mean, I grew up with my mom canning, 100 quarts of pickles every year and love it.
Doug, thanks a lot for the call. So a dill lover there. And coleslaw, I don't remember if you had coleslaw in the book at all. What kind of herbs, dill or otherwise, would go well in coleslaw? Jenna, let's throw that one at you. Jenna, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the question?
What kind of herbs you go well in coleslaw? Our caller was mentioning dill there.
I'm going to throw that one back at Jim. He's the food guy.
Okay.
Oh yeah, she likes to throw it back in my corner. Well, what's great about herbs is that so many of them go in coleslaw. I mean, dill, parsley, cilantro, basil, tarragon, chives. I think any one of those, as well as I've used thyme, sage. They all have such a different flavor that it just adds a completely different dimension to the coleslaw. So whether it's creamy or a vinaigrette-based,
yeah, coleslaw,
I just go to town.
Coleslaw doesn't seem so hard. What about, and I know you have some of this in your book, what about dessert? What can we add to sweet things? I know we talked about a drink, but what about, like a cake or something that has a little more heft to it? What herbs go well with that?
Well, we've got a tarragon pound cake that I thought had just really nice flavor to it. Again, you've got a little bit of that kind of licorice flavor that, herbs do really well in kind of a fat environment, where there's some fat into it, whether it's, a butter cake, a pound cake, or, a creamy sauce, because those oils of the herbs just have a way of being able to infuse themselves into the whole dish. But, you know, with desserts, you know, it doesn't have to be a decadent type thing. You could have fruit for a dessert. You could have, you know, apples, just simple apple salad or a melon blackberry salad that's used as a dessert. That herbs go wonderful. Thyme, mint, of course, is going to go great as a dessert item. But, you know, there's... You're only limited by your own imagination when it comes to herbs.
Just as we wrap up, Jenna, we've spent more time on the food, but getting back to the crafts or body care products, what is your next project? What seasonal herb is coming up that you're looking at crafting with?
I should be seeing some lavender here pretty quick. I have a whole row of it at my house. And looking forward to putting that into some more wreaths and making some swags.
And, Jim, lavender, I believe it's a scent and not a flavor. Do you cook with lavender?
I do cook with lavender, and lavender is definitely one of those herbs that's great in desserts as well. Goes great in a angel food cake, cookies, but, you know, you find restaurants, a lot of restaurants now are using it in savory dishes, putting it in risotto. Using it to flavor fish and different things. So lavender was one of those ones we debated on, and we just ran out of time. We could have put another half a dozen herbs in the book if we had more time. So
you can go into the sequel. Thanks for all the great inspiration. That was Jim Rood and Jenna Carlin. They blog at Little Rusted Ladle. Their new cookbook is Herbs for Flavor, Health, and Natural Beauty. Find recipes at the Central Time Facebook page.